Hi, I'm Tony Fair, founder of Victorian Grooming Company. Is your beard feeling dry or the skin underneath itchy? Maybe you'd rather soften and tame your beard instead. Our classic collection of beard oils, balms, and soaps will leave your beard looking, feeling, and smelling amazing. And if you prefer shaving, our pre-shave oils and shave soaps will give you a smooth and razor burn free shave. Handmade in Edmonton with natural ingredients, visit victoriangrooming.com.
Tonight.
Hey Craig.
How are you, mate? You right?
We're doing good. Tired, but good.
I can see you that you would be a little bit tired with what's been happening lately. But so first off, let's talk about chairs first. You've got your first show Sunday. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so this Sunday is, we're calling it the monologues. The way that the whole thing's kind of come about basically is when we were auditioning for the main six characters, the way that we set it up was we invited everyone who was auditioning to prepare a monologue, basically around the same kind of themes and ideas, you know, sort of loss, addiction, trauma, all the kinds of things that we want to see in chairs, basically.
Mm.
So that was always going to give us an insight into, you know, their capabilities as dramatic actors. But then to sweeten the deal, and to try and, you know, put a bit of a carrot in front of everyone to make sure that we got plenty of people through the door, Ben had the idea of we could set up, you know, a little corner in the studio space that we were using, Modafan in M50, yeah. And we just sort of record them as well, because obviously we need to know not just can they act, but also how do they look on camera, are they photogenic and that kind of thing. And the level of quality of the work that we got, it just, you know, we ended up having the sort of the idea that, you know, this could actually be something in its own right, you know, because the breadth of work that was on display. So some of them prepared monologues that were from movies that they liked.
Right.
Some people took a look at the short description, the bio of the characters that we'd written, and came in and just, you know, improvised on the spot. Yeah,
that's a talent.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, some of them were talking about their own experiences as well, so it was almost like an actual chairs session.
Right, right.
For them, you know. We even had someone coming in and doing some poetry. That was really impressive. So, yeah, Ben had the idea then to, you know, let's turn this into an event.
Yeah.
Basically, what we've got on Sunday is a lineup of people. I wanted to try and use as many of my connections as possible that I've built up in Shanghai over the years. So I went...
Sorry, how long have you been here now?
Gosh. Well, on and off. I mean, I just spent 6 months out. But before that, I was probably, what, in total, it's probably been about 9 years now in Shanghai.
That's a good innings.
But, yeah, so it's a very good innings, yeah. I didn't think I would be back, that's for sure. But yeah, like in this moment with what we were doing, I thought, you know what, all events are very similar. People put on events and they do the same kind of, you know, free flow beer and this and that, you know, just to get people through the door. But actually I didn't want to do it like that. I wanted to use everybody's creations, everybody's art, everybody's emotions to be able to kind of like to showcase these monologues and connect people to chairs, connect people to the concept. We'll start off with a singer, Erin. So Erin is she's Chinese. I'm not sure where she's from in China, but she's been here for a while. She's very well known on the music scene, and she's got an amazing voice. So I invited her to a studio couple of weeks ago, and I wrote a song for her. Well, we wrote it kind of together, you know, we were sat there in the studio, but I wrote a song for her, but the song is based on one of the characters, Kel, who's kind of like a hopeless romantic. She's unlucky in love. You know, men don't really take her seriously and stuff, and she's kind of got this broken heart that she can't really, you know, she doesn't ever really get over, and she's obviously always looking for somebody to be with, and you know, she's just
pushes a little hard.
Yeah, she's a bit vulnerable, you know what I mean?
Yes.
She, you know, she's a bit excited when she thinks she's found
love. Right, right.
And you know, so I wrote this song for Erin, and we kind of sat down and we put it together, and Erin went away and she wrote, and she'd done a version of it which was just blew me away, man. She sent me like a full studio recording, and I was just like, wow, okay. So yeah, so we're going to start the show with this song and Erin performing. And yeah, then we're going to go into, I'm going to do a brief introduction, I guess, kind of go through kind of like bullet points of why we're creating chairs and what it was all about, similar to what we're doing now. And then I have another friend of mine who's recently going through a really, really difficult patch, Denisha. She's a bit of a surprise in this kind of equation. I wanted her to, I've been kind of at her for a while to come and get involved and to do something to try and get her out and get her back involved in a community, you know. I met Denisha through Someone the Musical when I was part of that.
Right.
So she's agreed to do a spoken word poem, I guess. Spoken word poetry, speech, whatever you want to call it. So she's going to do that, which is actually, you know, really amazing considering that she's so, at the moment, she's in a difficult place in her life. And I hope that it will, for me, it represents everything that Chairs is about. It's about speaking your truth. It's about opening your heart and, yeah, just kind of like addressing the problems and addressing the details that, you know, are kind of like hurting you and causing pain. So with that speech, with that poem, then we'll go into like a session of the monologues, which are recorded, which Max, our cinematographer, he recorded on the day of the auditions. We actually did two sessions. So the first one was the beginning of February, was it?
Yep.
Beginning of February. And then the second session was at the end of February after Chinese.
Chinese holiday, right.
So yeah, he filmed them, you know, great guy. Really, really happy and lucky to have him on board. Unfortunately, he's not going to be there. We're kind of like, you know, you've got to be there, man. You've done all this stuff, you know. You've got to be part of the team. You've got to be there, but his family's in town, you see.
So right.
He's like, oh, I'd love to. And I was like, well, you should be bringing him then, you know, like bring him to the show off your work, you know. And he's like, oh, maybe. So we'll see. But yeah, so we'll do the first session, and then we've got the Community Center Shanghai, right. CCS. So they're our official community sponsors or partners for the Culture Space, which is obviously my business and what I'm doing, kind of like as a free kind of point thing. Yeah, like it's just my business basically, with layers, chairs, and space.
I wanted to go back. There's been a couple of people that have already been on the podcast that will also be featured. More recently, Trenton. And also, come on, my good mate, Josh Pemberton.
Yep,
Josh. Where do they fit into the chair?
Well, actually, so Josh, it's funny. So Trenton's actually got the part of Freddie. Freddie was Luke's creation.
Right.
Kind of based on characters and people that he knew, which you can talk about. Josh, we didn't give Josh a part in this because Josh came to play the part of Freddie as well.
Oh, got it.
So the thing is that I said to Josh the other day, I was like, and he's a bit upset about it. And I said, look, you can't play Freddie because your heart is not evil enough. You know, you're not that type of person. I couldn't look at you being that type of guy. You know what I mean? Because it's just not you. And he was like, yeah, but it's a challenge and I could do it. And I was like, no doubt you could do it, but I'd rather use your emotions, you know, as the character that you are in real life to be able to create something better for you later down the line. So yeah, for Freddie, I guess you can explain the character of Freddie.
So Freddie's like a from personal experiences, or are you not, something not, you created?
Not so much. No, I mean, as with all writing, you know, there tends to be elements of the autobiographical and sort of you draw from personal experience. So yes. I wouldn't say that I've based that character on any individual in particular, but there are certain characteristics, certain elements of the backstory that definitely kind of crib from, yeah, people I have known. But yeah, the basic idea of Freddie is that he's kind of a rich trust fund kid that's kind of had that silver spoon in his mouth. He's got two older siblings and they're both very, very successful. And we've not nailed it down yet, but you can imagine, you know, like a doctor or a lawyer or yes. whatever it might be. Either way, he sort of had the same advantages as they did, you know, sent to the best private schools and whatnot, but he kind of just coasted through it. You know, just basically a bit of a tearaway. You know, I mean, he graduated or whatever, and obviously he's got bags of money, but one thing that he sort of doesn't realize, the difference between him and his older brother and sister, he, you know, he looks at them and he feels resentment, and he feels like there's this kind of entitlement, you know, why have they got this perfect life and I don't, you know? And he can't quite work out the reason for that, is that he, you know, they put the graft in and he didn't, you know? So there are quite a lot of you know, you said the word evil there, and I think that's been a little bit unfair on Freddy. Evil kind of makes me think of, you know, like a Sith Lord or Darth Vader or something yes. like that, you know? Whereas this guy, you know, he's not evil. He's just kind of, he's hapless, you know? Mm. So he calls himself an entrepreneur, and, you know, he's sort of, he's got the talk, you know, and one of the reasons why we think Trenton's going to do such a good job is that he is charismatic, you know? This is the thing. He's able to kind of like dupe people into like his latest harebrained scheme, you know? But ultimately, it's going to end up being more like, you know, the WeWork or something like that. You know, yes. It all looks good to start with, but because he's not a hard worker, you know, basically he's not willing to follow things through. He's not willing to, you know, he's not got that drive and the commitment. He sees himself as the ideas man, you know, the generator of vision and stuff. But yeah, he's kind of going to be the one that, you know, he's not evil, but he's definitely the sort of the antagonist, shall we say, of the first season of Chairs. You know, he's the one that kind of creates the tension, pisses everyone off, basically. So when we were doing the auditions, I just wrote a load of, you know, sort of micro scenes, basically, to see how the actors had chemistry with each other. And these things, you know, they're unlikely to find their way into the final scripts for any of the episodes or anything like that. But it was just a way of, you know, developing the characters, playing around with the dynamics and things like that. And one of the kind of the big sort of jokes was, in about three or four of them, someone turns to Freddie and says, "You are the worst," you know? and I think that's just kind of it, you know? It's a kind of a tongue-in-cheek, like, oh, what is up with this guy, you know? Yes. But yeah, Josh, I totally agree with Ben. Very, very talented. When he came in and started reading for Freddie, it was, you know, it blew my mind, because you never really know until you put the words into someone's hands, you know, someone very capable, what they're going to do with it, you know, and there's always kind of a voice for the character in your own head as you're writing it.
Yes.
But one of the reasons I didn't want to complete all of the scripts before we cast it was because of exactly something like that. You know, someone comes in and they give you a completely fresh sort of take on a character, and you just think, wow, I really want to run with that. So I kind of preempted that.
So wait your turn.
Exactly.
Like,
see who it's going to be, and then we can write to the character, to the actor, rather than having them sort of adapt. One of the things that Ben was really big on when we were first coming up with the concept was we want it to be as natural as possible. So, you know, no one putting on accents or anything like that. Originally, the concept was actually that the actors would write their own characters. But I shot that down very quickly, just because.
Why is it?
It becomes quite problematic. People get very precious about things that they've created themselves. It's hard to sort of like draw a line, you know, who gets the final sort of authority and stuff like that. And it's asking for trouble, basically. You know, I think actors are, shall we say, highly strung, emotional people at the best of times.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah, I'm
trying
to be as diplomatic. I'm like, I'm an actor myself, so, you know, if I'm criticizing anyone, it applies to me as well. So, you know, and for a while as well, I thought I was going to be, you know, in this too. But then I decided that I'd rather focus on directing the actors and writing it and sort of helping Ben to sort of tell the story and get the vision realized, because I think sometimes you got to pass it on to another generation, you know?
Yeah.
And there's so many talented people out there as well. I'm really sort of glad with that decision because, yeah, we got everyone together. Well, with the exception of Trenton, he was in Suzhou, so we had him on the big screen behind you.
All right.
Actually, and everyone else was here. And it was just so nice because we'd done two separate auditions, you know? So this was actually the first time that we'd seen a number of these character interactions before. You know, we'd seen the girl who's playing Kel, Mishy, and we saw Ryan as Jay, but we'd never seen those two with the guys that we ended up casting from the second lot. So
right.
It was really, really exciting last Tuesday to just have everyone together, you know, all just crowded around in my place here, and to just see that, you know, hopefully we made some good decisions there with the casting. Mm. I know these guys are all super, super talented.
Yeah, and if you've been in the music or the entertainment, if you're going around, you'll see it run into these guys eventually. Mm. And word of mouth gets around very quickly here, especially with the foreigners. So I already know just by you talking that you've got a great bunch of actors there ready to go. Yeah. And then even with Josh, like you said, with Josh missing out, so with the process, did you get a good turnout for casting?
Yeah, I mean, how many, I think there's 20, 25 different monologues for the show on Sunday. And yeah, all of these people, they're basically, you know, I'd like to think they're there as sort of, not necessarily backup, but, you know, obviously the show's going to require secondary characters, and there are going to be scenes that are outside of the you know, the main room where most of the, you know, the healing, shall we say, happens. So again, you know, it's all about a matter of sort of finding roles for people. And yeah, obviously when someone's really, really, really good, we wouldn't want to just put them in a bit part, you know, in the background of an episode. We try and find a way to maybe work with them for season two, because ideally we see this as a kind of an ongoing project. You know, we sketched out the first season, and we kind of know where that's going to end.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a bit of a cliffhanger, and hopefully people will be, you know, excited
ready for
with
this,
it to sort of say, right, let's get it done with season two.
So have you got to that stage yet, or are you still, well, hey, let's just one at a time for season two?
I'd say we've got an idea. We've got an outline of what season two is going to look like.
Yes.
I think from the beginning, we knew that the first season had to be kind of like the mess, you know, like the first kind of step towards recovery, you know, like, you know, not everybody's going to go into the room and find healing and recovery, you know, it doesn't work like that.
Especially without any professionals.
Yeah, and there's no professionals in the room. And I think this is one of the things when we actually pitched the idea to CCS, they said the same thing. They were like, well, you know, we don't really know any meeting that kind of happens like that, where there's no professional in the room. And we've never heard of any kind of, you know, situations where this actually works. But we'd already kind of thought about that anyway, because we were like, well, it has to start like this. Like, it has to start and develop over time. So it's like, we have time. We can develop these characters, we can develop the storylines, and let's just kind of like focus on season one as being, you know, the one where people turn up just to talk, you know,
right.
Like that's the whole message. Like if you see on the flyers that we've put out there, it's need to talk, need to act, you know what I mean? Like to try and keep with the theme, the orange flyer, and just trying to keep everything kind of flowing in the same direction. So the second season, I guess it will be, we will make it a bit more professional and introduce more characters. We've got the potential of bringing in, you know, maybe there's famous people out there who, you know, they look at what we're doing, and maybe they think, oh, you know, like I've been through something like that. Maybe not famous, maybe just sports stars or, you know, sports people or, you know, actors or anybody really that's just can relate to it. It's like we could potentially tell their story through our season or through our series or an episode or something like that. So, you know, there's a lot of possibilities of kind of like where we're trying to take it. But that's obviously, you know, that's just one that's just one side of it, you know, creating the whole concept, coming up with these characters and ideas and things like that. Like, this is just one thing. We obviously need community and we need support from people, you know, around, you know, this isn't just a Shanghai thing either. Like, I intend for this to be a global thing. I hope that this goes, you know, far and wide. We're just in Shanghai at the moment. We've not even touched, I've not even shared anything to do with this on social media. Like, it's just us in Shanghai at the moment. And we've had, I'd say, a pretty impressive response off just three posts.
It's been incredible, really.
Yeah, just that's all we've done. Three posts, two auditions, one event, and yeah, people are buying into it. So
every time I see someone that I haven't seen for a while, they immediately say, "Oh, what's going on with this chair?" So I'm like, "How have you heard about that?"
Yeah, so that's great.
Everyone's heard about it, you know. So
that's great.
We've done that part, you know, generating the buzz and getting the word out. Now we need to actually, you know, make it.
And generating the buzz, but looking at the poster, you have like about a dozen sponsors already down on the bottom of the. So, is that just from you guys like being around in Shanghai for such a long time?
That's mainly Ben's hustle, to be honest. But we've also got a really good team as well, and I think Kiara and Kokina are our producers on this as well. And yeah, talk about hustle. I mean, those girls have really been bringing stuff home as well. One thing that was important as well is if you sort of look closely at the you know, the list of partners, there's a logic to, you know, the people that we've approached. Like, the community center would be the, you know, the greatest example, because obviously they're champions of exactly what message and, you know, what the purpose of this is, you know, raising awareness of mental health issues, trying to encourage people to, you know, not stigmatize it, to actually have the courage to reach out, to maybe just acknowledge in the first place that there is an issue and that there is something that they want to work through. So it's been very, very valuable to have that connection. And the first time we went in and we pitched it to Carly, and as Ben said, you know, she said, you know, this is unprecedented, this kind of thing, you know, it just doesn't, you know, we have no way of saying whether or not that kind of meeting would work, because the basic premise of Chairs is that, you know, a group of people just gather together to talk about their problems, right? And it's not organized by a psychologist or a psychotherapist or anything like that. It's just one guy who's mum basically knows he's going to be a bit lonely and encourages him to do it, and he begrudgingly kind of does. So we kind of said to Carly, don't worry, you know, because we were aware of the fact that, you know, without the professional there, it does all kind of go a little bit, you know, wrong. Tits up, I think, was the exact expression that we used. Yeah, and I think sort of having that particular connection, it's very useful for me as a writer and for the other people in the team there as well. Because, you know, we've sort of sketched out these characters and we now have the opportunity to take them to the community center, talk to them about them and say, you know, is this consistent with someone who, for example, is suffering from PTSD? Are these the kind of symptoms? Are these the kinds of, you know, behavioral patterns and, you know, tics and things like that? And having that sort of level of expertise available to us so that anytime we want to, we can just, you know, pick their brains. They're going to have a look at the you know, the final scripts and things like that. So, yeah, it's a real blessing, I think, to, you know, to have made those connections and to have them be interested as well, as much as anything. You know, it's very validating.
Yeah.
One thing that we obviously, like Luke said, about there's a kind of like a purpose to these, you know, one thing that we were trying to do as well with the sponsors was, you know, we don't want to promote alcohol, for example. You know, we it wouldn't make sense to promote alcohol on a show that's
mental health,
kind of like talking about mental health addiction and things like that. So you know, it's these kind of things, like, we're looking for health and wellness companies, people that are promoting that, obviously, you know, just good clean brands, you know, like I think we've got, you know, so it started off with Community Center. They were the first ones that I approached when I came up with the concepts for Chairs. They were the first kind of organization in my mind. Like, I just knew that it was like they came hand in hand. It was like Chairs, so, bam, Community Center, that's my direction, you know.
So tell us about the community centre, like just a little bit of a background on
they
that.
Just they provide counselling. They've been here for 25 years in Shanghai, plus 25 years. So
is it a foreign and China?
Towards expats, okay, but great. It's also they work closely with the locals as well. They offer like workshops and classes and, you know, experiences and things like that. You know, it kind of, I guess, one of the things that I guess they would be good for that they do is like introducing new expats, new foreigners coming into the city and giving them a kind of like a welcoming base. So people go to the community center and they'll have a lot of different things. Like you can do Tai Chi, or you can, you know, go and do some painting classes, or, you know, do Chinese lessons or something like that.
That's
just
fantastic.
Like a community where people can just kind of like arrive and hit the ground running, I guess. But it's not just that. They do obviously counseling sessions. They've got therapists online. They've got, you know, they've got life coaches. They've just got a bunch of different people who are all supporting this kind of community, you know. And there's a lot of stuff that they do, and they've been doing it for a long time. So for me, I seen that they've been doing that for a long, long time, for many years. And like I say, as soon as I came up with and I thought about this whole thing, it was like, I need somebody like the community center to help kind of project this in the right direction, you know, set the benchmark really for the sponsors that we've got. So yeah, like we started off with them. I think then I went to a friend of mine, Nicholas at Expat Services. I asked him to get involved. You know, he's been helping us kind of promote on his channel, EXS, as they're called, or Expat Services. He's a French guy, been here for God knows how long. He owns a couple of businesses, Zenith Services as well, I think it is.
But, oh, yes.
Yeah, so he's been here for forever, and his logo's on everything.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I was just like, you know, that's who, you know.
It's a good
and
start.
I already know him anyway. He gave me my first videography job.
Oh, there you go.
In Shanghai to shoot at an event that he was putting on in the Pearl Tower. So yeah, like that's, I got in touch with Nicholas. Then we have the Modafan Art Space in M50. M50 has been my dream studio and space since I arrived here first time in 2014. So for me, like when this opportunity came along, it was Kiara who actually put us in contact with Wenny, who is the owner of the studio. She's been there for 25 years plus again.
Yeah.
Like they're the most original and long-term studio in the whole of M50.
Yeah, right.
Still kind of like you walk in, it's still original walls and still like,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, like it looks like a bit of a cold, dark space, to be honest, but that's what we were looking for.
Yeah.
Because that's how we wanted to set this meeting up. So when we went in there, we spoke to them. I mean, I can't even begin to explain this woman and the way that she is. Her heart is so kind. She's so good. And that's the importance of having the right people on this project is, you know what I mean? Like there's no badness here. Like we're not trying to hurt anyone. We're not trying to, you know, fuck anybody over. Excuse my French. But, you know, that's the truth of it. Like I'm just on a mission to do and achieve something. So yeah, with Modafan, they're part of that. Then there was we needed to find a venue for the place. So we've got Studio 9 on Yu Yao Road. That's where we're going to host the event. I went to Jesse over there. I pitched the idea of chairs, and again, the method to that madness is that Studio 9 is a furniture shop. So what would we have in a furniture shop?
Right.
Many chairs. Right. So literally I walked in there, had this crazy day which was just giving me sign after sign after sign. I was walking through the street and I seen these two chairs sat there, and this is the original concept of why I came up with the concept with chairs is very similar, but I kept seeing these chairs, and then I got to Studio 9. I walked in, and the place where we're actually going to sit, there was just all these chairs lined up, six chairs on the on the thing, and I was just like, this is unbelievable. That's, you know, so everything just keeps coming together. You know, so we got Studio 9, they've helped us with that. Xavier for Schaeferware, so he's going to be one of our costume designers.
Fantastic.
So I reached out to him and I said, like, look, you know, we're looking for somebody who's got a bit of a flair, who's got, you know, more than anything, I just love it. I loved his heart. Like, the first time I ever met him, I didn't know him well. But I'd met him and tried to work with him a few times, but when the times came, I just couldn't really. Something happened, I think, in myself. You know, I went through a really difficult patch where I was struggling with confidence and you know, my self-belief and all this kind of stuff. So I never actually got to work with him. But this time when I came back, obviously a lot of changed. So I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to go for it, you know. So I reached out to him and said, look, we've got this concept. Would you be part of it? Would you help us? You can promote your brand. You know, he's an amazing designer. He does a lot of African-inspired clothes. We've got Green Wave. Green Wave is a water filter company.
That's awesome.
They, you know, so again, they match the health and wellness kind of theme.
Yeah.
I know Lisa. I've known Lisa for many years. Around about a similar time as when I met Nicholas from EXS, to be honest. I just went to her one day and I said, because Lisa's another one. She's absolutely everywhere. She's at every single event, does every, like, and you just see these people over the years and you think, like, what on earth are you doing? Like, how do you get where you're, like, into all these places, you know? So, I just asked her, I said, how do you get into all these places, you know? Like, it's crazy. Like, I admire what you've done over the years. And yeah, we've recently just shot a little video, a little promo video for Saigon Mama through Green Wave. But yeah, so we've got Green Wave helping us out. We've got, I'd say, so you know Angela from The Pearl?
Oh, yeah.
So she's always been part of any team that I've been on, and she's a great girl. She's always been in any of my teams photography-wise. You know, she always has done behind the scenes, and I know that she works.
Very talented.
I know that she does The Pearl and events like that. So, yeah, I got a lot of time for Angela. So she's going to be doing some headshots for us and behind the scenes in the for the event photography. There is, I don't want to forget anybody. So there's Nico from Nico Print Shop. He's the one who prints the hoodies and the t-shirts and things like that. I've been working together with, you know, I've always gone to him for my clothes, like any ideas that I've ever had, and I've had a lot. Not all of them have come off, but so Moomin Kombucha are actually part of China Wine Stores, and there was a bit of a conflict there. That wasn't one of my connections. That was one of Kiara's connections. Yeah, them being obviously an alcohol based store, I said to them, like, I'm really sorry, but even though I'd really love you to, you know what I mean, like, I want you to be part of this, we can't use your, you know, I don't want to use your logo, like China Wine Stores, it doesn't make sense. So they was just like, oh yeah, you can use our Moomin brand and for the kombucha. But you know, one thing that I was really, really surprised to hear was that they actually offer non-alcoholic options as well. So they were like, we really want to start promoting that. So again, you know, like, it does, just because it's alcohol based, it doesn't mean that it's a negative. If they're doing things like that, which is to support people that do have problems and that do need alternatives, then I think that it fits with what we're trying to say. So yeah. Moomin, then we've got the empanadas, Pampa Mia. So Pampa Mia are sending us some food, some snack, and supporting us.
You need it.
They're going to send us a load of stuff, and they've been really great over there.
That's an amazing start.
So yeah, and Garden Books. So yeah, Garden Books store on Chandler Road. You know, they do a lot of, you can host events there. You can do, you know, they've got a private room at the top. They've got a space where you can do presentations and things like that. I hope to be doing some kind of like street photography workshops with them throughout this year. I meant to do one over Chinese New Year, but but I'd done it on the 10th of February, so like an idiot. But that was Coquina saying, just do it. And I was like, no, because nobody will turn up. and she talked me into it. She'd be like, it'd be fine. Nah, don't worry about it. As she does. And yeah, nobody turned up. So
unbounded positivity, which in many scenarios is a very, very positive thing, but it's not all conquering, unfortunately.
Getting back to chairs, so what advice are you giving them to try out? What's that next step, like, that if they want to try out but they're not confident?
Well, I'll tell you a story about how I first got into the acting scene in Shanghai. So,
to do with a casting couch.
my girlfriend at the time, she was working in the same place as a guy that was already, you know, a reasonably well established actor in the Shanghai scene. So we just went along to watch one of their shows. That was actually That was at the Pearl, actually. It was, yeah. Way back in the day. The company was called Urban Aphrodite, and they were putting on The Princess Bride. So I went along with my girlfriend, and we were watching it, and, you know, the quality was pretty good, and everyone just looked like they were having such a great time. And obviously, because we kind of had an in with one of the cast, we kind of stayed after hours as well and, you know, hung out with people.
Nice.
And I just sort of asked, you know, I was like, who's running this show? So they pointed out the director. She's left Shanghai now, but she used to be an absolute tour de force, a powerhouse of the Shanghai scene, a lady called Anne James, something of a mentor to me. So I just kind of sidled up to her, you know, and I sat down and I said to her, how does one go about getting into all this then?
Yeah.
And she just looked at me and she goes, honey, you're doing it. And honestly, I wouldn't say that anything's changed, really. You know, ultimately, it's just a matter of having the goal, I think, having the courage to just kind of say, how do I do this, you know? Because if you don't sort of reach out to someone that's kind of in those circles, you're not likely to see all of the messages and the casting calls and things like that. And as with most things, I think, in Shanghai, there is, you know, a really vibrant scene, and people are very sort of friendly, welcoming, and really sort of energetic and enthusiastic. And honestly, as soon as you just got to go and grab it, basically, you know, once you put yourself in the right places, things just tend to start happening quite quickly.
What happens in Shanghai, and that's what I love about it so much. The opportunities here are just endless.
Yep. Yeah, every time I go home, you know, to visit back in the UK, and people are always just, there's this weird assumption, you know, that you're not really enjoying it, or for whatever reason. Yeah. It's weird,
isn't
it? You know,
same in Australia as well.
And there's, you know, there's always that assumption. She's like, oh, when are you moving back? And I'm like, well, first of all, I hate the UK now. Everything about it, you know, like post-Brexit, it's just...
Sorry,
it's
my UK fans.
I'm only kidding. I still like visiting for a holiday. But no, I mean, it's miserable. It's expensive. There's a cost of living crisis going on. You know, everything after... We're not even part of Europe anymore. So, you know, I kind of... When they sort of ask me, you know, why are you still there? Mm. You know, and I'm like, well, you know, I was captain of a dodgeball team. You know, I manage a football team. I've got my acting community. I'm doing a project with, you know, my life is here.
Yeah.
You know, I've got my cats, and I've been in the same apartment for 5 years now, which is longer than, you know, when I was living in London, I was only there for 7 years and I had 12 different apartments.
Yeah.
You know, just kept bouncing around. So I think the thing about Shanghai is that, you know, it's easy to find things to do. It's easy to get established. And whatever it is that you're into, you can find people that are like-minded, you know. Mm. I've got mates who are into, you know, board games and D&D and stuff like that, and they can always find a table to play at.
Mm.
So I think when it comes to getting involved in pretty much anything in Shanghai, it's just finding out who runs it,
you know,
who's organizing it, because the chances are you'll find someone.
Yeah. Mm. Ask around. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you two guys get involved business-wise?
Yeah, we met on the 48-hour film project that they do every year here in Shanghai.
I love that concept.
Yeah, yeah. I joined the team with Tom and Danielle for Bounce House at the time, and they just invited me along. I was just like, yeah, whatever. Like, I was like, what do you want me to do? They were like, can you edit? And I was like, yeah. So I ended up editing, but I think I kind of did a lot more than that as well. Like, me just being in my nature as, like, you know, spotting the gaps and seeing where, you know, I needed to, where I could place myself and just kind of help and things like that. So I guess, yeah, I just started, and that's where I met Luke, and Luke was acting as a Russian police officer.
No, was he
Russian?
He was Greek, I think. Or was he? Yeah, from that kind of
Milos.
Milos. I don't know. It was Milos. So what they do with the 48-hour is they give you two genres, which you can choose one, or you can try and, you know, get them both into the thing. They give you a line of dialogue which has to be included. They give you a prop that has to be included. Mm. And they give you a character name and their profession. So I think it was a detective called Milos. And because of the name, I just thought, well, this guy, you know, he's probably Greek or something, or from that sort of, you know, neck of the woods. So I had a bit of an accent there, which
it was pretty funny, to be fair. And it was a lot of fun, the whole experience. And there, things just kind of blossomed from there, I guess.
Yeah.
We worked well together. We edited the footage. We got the film in. Yeah, and I think we won a couple of awards that year.
Oh, wow.
We definitely didn't win the big ones, you know what I mean? Because we all know there's only one team that wins the big ones. You know, I'm not mentioning any names. But, you know, that's the way it is. So, but yeah, like, it was fun. And I think for anybody, you know, kind of wanting to do that,
yes,
it's a great experience, yeah. You know. Second year we did it again. We did it again the year after. This time I had a bit more, I guess, a little bit more influence. We changed the team a little bit. We changed the cinematographer, but we made a film called Broke. First was Surface Tension, and then was Broke. But Luke was kind of on the edge of that project. Broke.
I wrote it.
Yeah, but you were on the edge. What do you mean?
What did you want me to do?
You wrote it, but there was a lot of influence in that room, and I think that's right. One of the things is, you know, one of the problems I think that we had with Bounce House was that there was a lot of people. There was too, you know, the saying, too many chefs spoil the broth.
Yes.
So yeah. It was kind of like, you know, too many people came in and got jobs that they really didn't know how to do,
right.
And just kind of ended up in doing another job that they could do, and it overtook something, you know what I mean? And then you had Luke crying in the corner.
I wouldn't go that far. I did sort of throw my toys out of the pram a little bit. Because, oh yeah, so I was part of the team that wrote it. Sorry, I shouldn't say I wrote it, because, you know, as with Chairs as well, there's a big group of talented writers that are helping me with that particular task. But yeah, on Broke, I think I'd sort of agreed to be the assistant director, and then once I realised what that actually involved, I didn't really feel like doing it.
So right.
I was kind of just a little bit absent when everyone else started just basically doing stuff for me. So I was, I was quite involved up to the point where we started shooting, and then I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to let everyone else take care of this. Because it really was just, sometimes you need a lot of people on a big set, and sometimes you just need a lot of people to get the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like I was necessarily contributing that much. I was kind of duplicating work, if anything.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just kind of need to make that decision. I mean, it's all very well to kind of like having people, you know, hangers on and stuff, and having people there, they're sort of ready and willing to, you know, to help and learn. But sometimes you just kind of need professionals and people that know what they're up to. I think 48 hours is a really fun thing for people to get their feet wet, you know, just to sort of try it out. Because I don't think, even though it's a competition format, I don't think there's a huge amount of pressure. It's kind of exhausting. It's a real challenge, you know. You get to the end of that weekend and you're just absolutely emotionally fried.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't take the Monday off, you are mad, basically. Yeah. I know a lot of people, you know, people who are teachers or whatever, yes, they don't really have the option of just taking a day off.
Yeah.
I always feel sorry for them, you know, when it comes to the next sort of day, and it's just like, oh, you guys must be feeling absolutely broken. I wouldn't be surprised if there are a few, you know, coffee cups being thrown at the kids during that day.
That would be. But just, like you said, I love the concept, and the one that you invited me to a couple of years ago, it was, they had to have a lighter in there. Yeah,
that was Broke.
Yeah, Broke. They had to have a lighter. Comedian, yeah. They had not allowed to have promoting. And then one of the films had a Nike. Yeah, it was wearing a Nike shirt.
Oh yeah, instant disqualification there.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's. But I guess that's just the way it is. Look, at the end of the day, it is a lot. It all, is all fun and games, and, you know, and everybody enjoys themselves, and it is worth doing. It's stressful. It's fun. It's, you know, it's everything that you would expect making a movie to be in 48 hours.
Mm.
But yeah, like I think that's so basically that's where we kind of learned to work as a team, learn to work with other people, know and understand what people were good at, what people were not good at. Yeah, it was a big learning curve. I'd already been kind of working as a videographer and photographer for a while anyway in the city, so I guess I had my own style of directing and my own style of, like, you know, making projects and stuff like that. So it was just really cool to yeah, to finally be in a bigger team, I guess. And and I think everything that I went through for sure, like over the past few years, and probably Luke as well in his whole career, you know, acting and everything. I think that when we look back, all that's prepared us for what we're doing now.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not perfect. Far from it. We, you know, people might think that we know what we're doing. We know a little bit of what we're doing, but
making it up as we go along.
Yeah,
We're just going for something. We just say, you know what, it's now or never. Like, yeah, we've got to take this to the steps that, you know, we need to take it.
You can go a long way on good instincts, I think, and we just got a feeling. You know, every time that we've worked together in the past, there's always been good chemistry.
Yeah,
and I think the best sort of thing about this sort of dynamic duo, this partnership, is in as many ways as we are similar, we are also kind of opposites, you know. So every time I've got a big sort of gap, he kind of comes in and fills it, and vice versa.
Got it.
So he's the guy. So he tends to be, you know.
Makes us sound like we're doing something naughty on our script readings. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that could be another podcast.
Very talented boys, yeah.
Behind the scenes.
But, you know, what tends to happen is, you know, so Ben sort of comes up with the big crazy idea, you know, and then I kind of, I'm the miserable bastard that kind of, you know, reins him in a bit and says, right, look, I love it, but we're just going to have to, you know, come on back down to earth. Back down to where the rest of us are.
But you need that.
Yeah.
You need someone coming up with ideas, and whether it's crazy or you never know where that can take you.
Precisely. And then one of the other things as well that we sort of realized is, you know, you got to be humble enough to understand that, you know, you can't do this on your own. And we're just lucky enough, experienced enough to have been around for long enough to kind of just go, right, who are we getting for this, you know, and just kind of go out there and try and pick a bit of a dream team. I mean, there's a whole bunch of talented people out there that aren't involved in chairs in any kind of way.
Yet.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, I think that's also one of the great things about Shanghai is just the, you know, the sort of the depth of the talent pool that you can go and draw from. So yeah, you know, going back to that whole sort of idea of community as well, it's not only is chairs the crew become its own little community, but the actual show itself is about community, you know. Yes. It's about people who are feeling lost and helpless and desperate and lonely finding some solace, you know, in sort of coming together. And I think that, you know, it's nice how sort of art imitates life in that sort of sense, you know.
Shanghai is a big city.
It's easy to get lost.
And if you're by yourself, you can get lost very quickly. But these avenues that you're talking about, it's so positive, and I think it's great for the people living here.
Hi, I'm Nigel the Shanghai Psychic. I can tune into your loved ones in the spirit world, but I can also tune into you, tell you about your path and the choices that you need to make and need to know. I'm currently giving 30% discount on all Tell Craig Your Story listeners. Just use the code Tell Craig Your Story for 30% off your first psychic reading with me online at Nigel the Shanghai Psychic.